This is OTB AM.
I would say that Nadal's force of will and stamina and sheer bloody-mindedness is unparalleled. But nobody comes close to Federer's talent and the fact that he maximized that natural talent. And for me, that's why Federer will always be ahead of Nadal and Djokovic, even if Nadal or Djokovic win more Grand Slams than Federer. I still think Federer is the best of the three.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio.
Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Let's say good morning to David Myler. David, how are you?
Good morning.
Some big talking points out of the Liverpool game last night. Let's start with the obvious one, and that's the injury to Fabinho. What happens now, and what would you do? Would you stick your experienced captain in the team who's played famously at centre-back in the World Cup Championship, or do you go with the kid who you think might be the future?
Do you know what? After the game last night, obviously I knew I was doing this morning. I had to think about it. They've got West Ham coming up. And it's an interesting one in the sense of which way do you go? I would probably lean towards playing the young boy. It's an opportunity for him. Look, he's like, we saw Jurgen Klopp yesterday come out and he said he'd done very well and he'd played more Champions League games than he's played Premier League games. But it's kind of a case for him, if he's at Liverpool and obviously he's in and around the first team, is he, the big question mark's always, are you ready? And then it comes, are you ever going to get an opportunity? And look, this opportunity has risen because, you know, obviously Virgil picked up the injury against Everton. Last night we saw Fabinho. We don't know the extent of that. Jurgen Klopp did say after the game that Fabinho said he could play on. He couldn't probably sprint at maximum speed. So, like, I've been in a similar situation where I've hurt my hamstring and then I thought I was okay and I've played on. I've actually made it, you know, 10 times worse rather than being out for 2 to 3 weeks. I ended up being out for 6 to 8 weeks. So I kind of get the, you know, get him off the pitch and just protect him. So we don't know the extent of that. But if it was a toss-up between Henderson and the young boy, Rhys Williams, I'd look at playing Rhys Williams centre-half.
I guess the whole point of having him in the squad is so that you can use him, right? Mm. And games like the West Ham game, very important game, not an absolute must-win forever for the rest of the season game, and also a game where you're expected probably to have the majority of the possession. Some tricky opponents in that West Ham team, but again, we don't know if Mikel Antonio is going to actually be injured or not, probably might not actually play. So this is why you have 19-year-olds coming into your squad, and you have to see what you have with them.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, certain Liverpool fans might be go, oh, I'm not sure if he's ready or not. If you remember a few years ago, like Trent Alexander-Arnold making his debut away at Old Trafford, I remember watching the game kind of going, who's this young boy? And it was only because, you know, Nathaniel Klein had picked up injury. And it was kind of one of those, like, is he ready? And he had a reasonably good game. You know, didn't set the world alight like he did last night or as he has done the past few seasons. But the manager showed faith in him and then it kind of, he got into the team and like Klein was almost forgotten about. Like obviously at the end of last season, he was released. So it's an opportunity. You have these young boys around the squad. I look back on my own experiences when I was, you know, 19, 20, it was kind of like, when am I ever going to get an opportunity? And I remember there was loads of injuries. And then the managers one day just stuck me in a Blackburn away. And it was kind of like, right, this is my opportunity. And touching on what you said, like I made my debut for Sunderland in the Premier League, which is a lot different than making your debut in the Premier League for like Liverpool or whatever, like because they are Liverpool and, you know, they are going to dominate a lot of possession. Then it's really a test of, you know, his mental strength and his concentration levels to say like, right, I mightn't have to defend as much if I, you know, playing for Liverpool as I would another team, that when the opportunities do that West Ham look to counterattack or they do have little spells in the game that he's like switched on or whatever. And plus, like the big thing as well is a centre-half is used to dealing with somebody up close as opposed like to, you know, stepping in and pressing a striker. The central holding midfielder isn't, in the sense that they're always 2-3 yards off, you know, their man, in the sense that midfielders never genuinely play up against each other. someone like Mikel Antonio will look to, you know, almost go up against people and feel them and, you know, use his strength and his pace to get away from people. Like, the reason why I would play Williams over Henderson there is Williams would be a lot more used to that. Yes, he will. He'll never have played against someone with that much, you know, strength and someone at that at Premier League level. But it would be, you know, a total different kettle of fish for Jordan to play centre half against Antonio than it will Williams, who would be more used to the position.
Can we talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold, David? Because there might have been maybe a few mild questions about his form at the start of the season, but I think that was mostly because you look at Robertson going down the other flank and having an unbelievable start to the year. Yeah, the last couple of games, Alexander-Arnold has been sensational. He looked really good on Saturday night, very unlucky to not get that incredible assist for that Mo Salah goal. And he did the exact same thing last night. And it seems that the playmaker of Trent Alexander-Arnold somehow has gone to another level over the last couple of games. Is that a fair thing to say, that he's picking up more of those passes from central areas?
No, he is, of course. But it's an easy one to say, you know. Look, there's no doubting Trent has fantastic delivery of the ball. You know, he's a beautiful right foot. He can pick people out in a sixpence. But going into the middle of midfield almost is a lot different than playing right back. You have, when you play right back, you've got the full picture in front of you. Do you know, you can see everyone. You know, no one's really coming from behind you. If the ball's played out to him and he steps into midfield, yes, he might have, you know, the opposing left winger coming, you know, from his blind side coming at him. But the whole idea of him kind of playing in midfield is, for me, is a lot different, because it's a totally different position. That when you receive the ball, like, if you receive the ball, say, off the left back in midfield, you could be closed down by the opposite midfielder, the opposite winger, do you know what I mean? The striker, it's a lot different. So when he does play right back and he steps in, he can still see the players coming at him to press him. So it's a lot different. But look, there's no doubting that if he was given time, say in the middle of midfield, he could cope with, you know, playing there regularly. Because look, the boy is, it's probably fair to say he's the closest to De Bruyne in the sense of his passing and, you know, the assist that De Bruyne gets. I don't think anyone is, like, on their level in the sense of their passing. And, like, you've seen even last night in the Champions League game where Trent, you know, picked out Minamino with, like, just a delivery of a flat ball. It's just, it's exceptional. And, look, it's just something he has in the locker. I think anyone watching him would be jealous.
Yeah, like, it's interesting then to have that conversation in the context of the formation that Klopp has used over the last couple of games, where it has been a 4-2-3-1, where he has tried to get Jota on the pitch at the same time as his first choice front three. Granted, that wasn't the case from the start last night, but certainly the case against Sheffield United. Do you think that's just a reaction from Alexander-Arnold then, to thinking to himself that there actually could be two attackers on the right-hand side of the pitch at times if you're going with four attackers, and I just need to find a bit more space for myself in the middle?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of, when you're playing in a game, you'll always feel things. It's almost, you know, like you're talking about Jota and whether it be Salah, you know, overloading the right hand side because they're both attacking players and whatever. Always in games, you kind of get an idea of where you're at as you're playing, that, you know, the opponent's right back, left back, you know, centre halves or midfielders not at it, so we can target that. Maybe it's a case that Jurgen Klopp is liking what he's seeing in training, in the sense that they're linking up really well. Can we, you know, cause teams problems? Can we pin them back even more because of the type of player Jota is, that he, you know, he's very comfortable on the ball, likes to get forward, picks up good positions. Like, it's almost a case of they're trying to overload areas to create more space for someone like Trent to get higher and get on the ball, because we know he can pick these passes. And, you know, obviously, look, his assists speak for themselves over the past, I'll probably say 2 years. So it's certainly something that they must be looking at.
If you're Jurgen Klopp and you have a full complement of midfielders available over the next couple of weeks, are you still tempted to stick with the 4-3-3-1?
Yeah, I think, look, that's his, you can chalk it down as 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, you know, 4-5-1.
With Jota in the team.
But it's formations are only like blueprints, you know, in the sense that they'll adjust, those formations adjust so much. the way Jota is playing, he certainly is knocking on the door consistently to be starting. He's scoring important goals. You look at the impact, like last night for Jurgen to rest the front three, and, you know, obviously Shaqiri, Minamino and Origi come in. Did they really set the world alight? I wouldn't say. I think it was an opportunity missed by them. You know, FC Michigan were very organized, pressed high, you know, and made a really good count of themselves after their performance against Atlanta, in the sense that the only one that probably out of, and Jota say, that kind of came in, Jota was the only one that really put his hand up and said, like, you know, I want to stay in the team. I think the only bit of brilliance out of the other three I mentioned was probably Shaqiri's pass to Trent to put, you know, the ball in for Jota. So there is a case, yes, Jota's put his hand up. He wants to be playing, you know, and he's playing well, and, you know, he's hit the ground running. I know if you saw Peter Crouch and Amelana, they said it took them a long time to settle in at Liverpool, you know, signing for a club of that stature. And then this young lad's come in and, you know, he's been a breath of fresh air. And I think in the past, if, you know, Salah or Firmino or Mane were injured, there would be question marks raised of, can we get the players in? You know, to who's going to, you know, step up to that fold, and are we going to miss them? I think Jota really is a kind of a player that you wouldn't bat an eyelid too much if one of the front three kind of picked up an injury, because he's playing really well and he looks like a fantastic signing.
Yeah, the fact that they don't have to play every game, I think, is the other thing that gives you know, just the proper periodization potential, and then also keeping them fresh for the run in and for hopefully another tilt to the Champions League. Speaking of the midfield situation, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Manchester United at the moment. Pogba is not starting, and the team has been better since he has stopped starting. Might be a coincidence. There's been no sign of Donny van de Beek, the massive signing. The whole summer was like we were waiting for big signings. They make one, can't get in the team. A very pedestrian central midfield partnership that's actually been very effective in McTominay and Fred. What's your take on what the best Manchester United midfield is at the moment, and what do you think is happening with Pogba?
I had a friend ask me about Pogba. And if you go back to the Parish game, I think a lot of people were quick to highlight, you know, when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer played the kind of the wing backs or the three at the back or the five at the back, whichever way we would change it. And then when he switched formation and Pogba came on, a lot of people credit, you know, Pogba changed the game, that, you know, started to go on and win the game against PSG. I would say it was more the formation. I think you have to give credit where it's due that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got that decision right. When you speak about the Manchester United midfield, it's kind of, there's no doubting Pogba is world class. He has every attribute to be, you know, and we've seen glimpses of it. You know, the Pogba who plays for France and the Pogba who plays for Manchester United is totally different. He's an exceptional player, and I won't have anyone tell me different. I've gone up against him enough times to know what he brings to the table. My own take on it would be, you know, Manchester United they've kicked in his extra year in his contract. I think they've signed Donny van de Beek thinking that they're going to sell Pogba. I think it's kind of a case of, we're putting him in the shop window. I think they're going to play Pogba, and I think if a substantial offer comes in January or the summer, they'll move him on. As opposed to, you see the situation kind of where, you know, Arsenal are in with Ozil, that, you know, he's on a lot of money, he's in the last year of his contract, they're looking now to just move him on. I don't think Manchester United want to find themselves in that, where it comes to January, you know, we've all heard Pogba come out and say that he wants to play for Real Madrid. That's fine. That's obviously a goal of his. But can you imagine if Paul Pogba was in or on the first team, and in January, Paul Pogba is out of contract in the summer and he starts negotiating a deal that Man United don't really have a leg to stand on, in the sense that can we sell him now with 6 months left on his contract? You're probably not. I think they paid 80 million for him a few years ago. They're not going to be able to recuperate any of the money. So now it's a case of, he will have in January, say, 18 months. And I think they will look to say, if you want to go and we get a substantial offer, then you can go. And they then have Donny van de Beek to step right in. I think when you speak about the midfield, going back to that, it's a case of, the boys who were in there, you know, your Fred, your McTominay, they've really stepped up in their, you know, in their level of performance. If you look at someone like Scott McTominay, a lot of Manchester United fans wouldn't have had him down as one of the, you know, the starters. But then you look at the performances, you know, away at Paris Saint-Germain, where, you know, he was incredible for the 90 minutes. I think boys are really, you know, starting to put in level of performance that they're saying, like I understand that we've got Donny van de Beek, Pogba, Bruno, you know, Fred, Matic, fellas are going to miss out. But I think they're kind of at the stage where I'm going to put in that level of performance day in, day out, in training, in games, that the manager won't be able to leave me out. Bruno is the number 10. He's the one to start. We've seen him pushed out wide, but I don't think he's good enough out wide. I get the idea that he can kind of drift inside to create an overload, but at times you need that width, which is, you know, naturally provided by a winger. But if I was to pick, a midfield three, I would certainly look at, my three would be McTominay, Pogba and Bruno. And I think you'd have to work hard enough at Pogba to get him to be disciplined enough, or else I would play, you know, McTominay sitting, because he has more legs than Fred. He's more energetic and he's probably more disciplined. I would play him with the two in front.
Right. That, like, I think the discipline issue, and it's one we're going to keep coming back to until they do eventually sell him. And I think you might be dead on with that. Great to have you with us this morning, David. Thanks a million. That was great stuff.
Cheers.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.